Firstly, I want to say thank you for the surprise birthday party on Sunday. I was completely oblivious to all what was happening behind the scenes. Thank you so much. I think what actually confused me, having three birthday cakes leading up to the Sunday. So thank you for that. And secondly, thank you to Dennis for leading our service. I noticed that two words that actually appeared a few times, the word light, and I think to me the word glory. I don't know if it was through the songs and the hymns. This morning I want to think about that Christmas starts with Christ as God with us. Christmas starts with Christ as God with us. And I want to start with this. A minister fell asleep in his study on Christmas morning. In his dream, he found himself looking through his home, and there was no Christmas decorations. He walked out into the streets, but nowhere could he find a church. Returning to his study, he wanted to read something about the Christian faith, but every book of the Saviour had disappeared. He had to make a visit to a dying woman. Sitting down beside the lady, he said, "I have something here in the Bible that would bring you comfort and hope." He opened his Bible only to discover that the Bible ended at Malachi. He could only weep over the situation with that bitter despair. 2 days later, he stood by the graveside at this woman's coffin to conduct the funeral service. But there was no message of comfort and hope. There was no message about the glorious resurrection. No message about the open heaven. But only ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Suddenly he realized it was a dream. What John has to say in John chapter 1 is about the God who comes, as we celebrate at Christmas, who comes into this world as a helpless baby, but he came to rescue us, to deliver us from our sins. He came to save us. And in many ways, John sets the scene for us, the context, and he really asks the question, who is this Jesus and why has this Jesus came? Firstly, I want to pick up. I'm going to pick up four different points, so I'm moving away from three. So, discovering his identity. Discovering his identity. And if you follow it in your Bibles, really verses 1 and 2. But I want you to notice the phrase, "In the beginning was the Word." See, most stories begin once upon a time with a sense of beginning somewhere in the past. And what John affirms here is that the Lord Jesus is before time, before the creation of the world. In the beginning, before time was, the Word was. That our Lord Jesus is from eternity and will be to all eternity. And this is reinforced in verse 2. which tells us that Jesus, as the Word of God, was involved in creation. And the reason why John mentions this, to ensure us, to help us to understand that the Jesus that we worship did not suddenly become God. Jesus did not stop being God when he became human. Therefore, in knowing Jesus, we know God himself. We know God's amazing love, that love that reaches out to us. As Hebrews 13 and verse 8 reminds us, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And during this season of Advent, as we celebrate the coming of our Saviour, of our Redeemer, of our Lord, we need to also affirm that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Secondly, I want to pick up recognizing his power. Recognizing his power. And we see this in verses 3 to verse 5. And in these verses, John has primarily in mind the power of God in creation. It says in verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made. We must never lose sight that we serve a living and an awesome and a mighty God. A God that has all power. A God that has all authority. A God that can change any situation. And whatever situations that confronts us on a daily basis, we serve a living God. A God of all miracles. A God of all power. Who can speak into any situation, bring hope and peace and his presence. What John is actually saying here, God the Father created everything that existed by and through his Son Jesus. Every time God said, let there be, he was doing something through his Son. And we worship the Lord Jesus, who not only came as a helpless baby, but he came to die for us, to rescue us, to set us free. See, Jesus brings light and life to the world. We are told quite simply in verse 4 that in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus shines into the darkness of this world. Or put it another way, God gives life. God is light. And the question that sometimes confronts us as we journey with our living God, as we face situations, we are so often confronted with our glorious Lord Jesus. When we face situations, will we choose death or life? Darkness or light? The light of life that Jesus offers is, according to verse 9, both true light and light which is available to all. Not only are these verses about creation, but also what Jesus offers to us. Not only has he given us life and light in creating us, but he offers us light and life and that new life in him through his death on the cross. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "For he is the way and the truth and the life." Bear in mind, when Jesus actually said this, this is what we call on Monday, Thursday, the day before Good Friday. And he is actually saying, he's talking about his death. "I am, you know, actually going away." And Jesus says this tremendous promise that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And sometimes in our journey, in our discipleship, in the situations that confront us, in those situations that we feel that we are powerless, in those situations, we need to come to the Lord Jesus, who is the Redeemer, the God of all miracles. He is the one that can actually touch our lives and to bring hope and purpose. And it's Jesus' power that brings it about. And that it, in that sense, in verse 5, John actually says, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Or it can be translated, "mastered it," or "overcome it." And through Jesus, God's light shines into those dark situations. His awesome power. His life defeats death. His light swallows up darkness. Just let me illustrate it. There was once a young girl who consulted her pastor. And she said this, "I cannot stick it out any longer. I am the only Christian in my workplace, and all I get is taunts and sneers. It's more than I can understand. I'm actually going to resign." And the minister asked her a question. "Where are lights placed?" And this young Christian responded very bluntly, "What has that to do with my situation, what I'm actually facing at this time?" But the pastor actually said, "You need to answer the question. Where are the lights placed?" And she said, "In dark places." And he went on to say, "That's where God has placed you. Where there is darkness. So that you could be that light in that situation." And this young Christian responded and actually saw that God had given her this wonderful opportunity. Before long, she had that tremendous witness and she led 9 other women to faith in Christ. See, wherever God has placed us, whether it's actually challenging situations, we serve a Lord Jesus who has that awesome power, who can create and recreate. It's that power to give light and life to men and women. It's that power enough to overcome even the darkest of darkness. Thirdly, I want to pick up understanding his mission. Understanding his mission. And if you're following in the Bible, it's verses 10 to 12. And I want you to notice that Jesus' mission defines. Jesus was rejected by his own. by those who came to see him. We see something of the nature of Christ's mission. When Jesus came to this earth to die for his people, in actual fact, there are two elements of rejection here. Firstly, the world did not recognize him. For the Jews, they were looking for a political liberator from the Romans, and Jesus did not fit the bill. How many people caught up with life failed to recognize Jesus? And secondly, his own rejected him. He came to his own, that is the Jews, the people of God preparing for centuries, through whom God would bring a saviour, a rescuer, a deliverer. But his own did not receive him. Instead, they crucified him. And yet for others, his mission started new life. Verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Jesus came to offer the right to become part of his family. But how do we accept the offer? By accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Saviour. It's not just coming to church. It's not just being brought up maybe in a Christian family. But each person needs to make that personal response to the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for us on the cross at Calvary. It's that personal response to our Lord Jesus Christ that we become his family. Just let me illustrate it. The only son of a wealthy man had his 21st birthday on Christmas Day. And he was expecting to receive a BMW car from his dad. As he dropped many hints over the course of the previous year. Instead, his dad told him that he loved him so much and he handed him a wrapped up present. When he opened it, he found the box just containing a leather bound Bible with his name inscribed on the spine. Angrily, the young man tossed the book, the Bible aside, and stormed out and saying, "With all your money, all you can give me is a Bible." And they never spoke again. His father died, and his uncle actually informed him of his father's death. Although his father did actually try to make contact, the son was never interested. As the son was going through the father's estate and the father's belongings, he found the Bible still in the box. Curiously, he took the Bible out of the box and opened it, and the page fell at the passage the father had marked. And as he looked at the page, he discovered the dad had underlined Matthew 7 and verse 11. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father give what is good to those who ask him?" And as he read this passage, a key fell out from inside the Bible. It had the tag with the dealer's name on it for the BMW that he wanted years earlier. And on the tag, beside the date of his 21st birthday, he read the words, "Paid in full, love Dad." And as we come to our Lord Jesus, I don't know what you are facing, what you are experiencing, but I know that we serve a Saviour that saves to the utmost. A Lord that loves us with an everlasting love. And he wants to reach out to each one of us, whatever we are facing, as he pours his grace and his love and his peace into our lives. And fourthly and finally, encountering his glory, encountering his glory. Verse 14. And I want you to notice, it speaks about Jesus' glory. See, the wonder of Christmas is not found in the stories of the shepherds and the wise men with their angels and their star, but found in John's statement here in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. See, God the Son, who was with the Father before the creation of the world, humbled himself to become an authentic human person. See, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ shows us once for all that God is not above us or against us, but rather among us. At the moment in time, the infinite became an infant. Almighty God became a human being in the manger. And this is what C.S. Lewis rightly termed the grand miracle. See, it's interesting to note the word flesh in this passage. Flesh stands for the whole person, our whole experience, its fragility, its vulnerability. That in becoming one with us, Jesus shared in the pain of our living. He knew what it was like to suffer. Jesus was not spared the harsh reality, because flesh can be seared, bruised, or battered by pain. Yet the wonder of the gospel that Jesus became God with us. He identified for us. He became our rescuer, our deliverer, in order to save us from our sins. He lived among us, or literally tented among us. It's as though as he pitched his tent while he was among us as a man. But only when we read the Old Testament can we truly see the significance of this amazing statement. For in the Old Testament, God was with his people, meeting them in the tabernacle, the tent of meeting with Moses, meeting with God. Our God has come to meet with us. And what John is actually saying, that in Jesus we meet God himself and we have seen his glory. Jesus becomes one with us in order to die on the cross for us. You know, when we look at a Christmas scene, Jesus in the manger, we always see the sign of the cross above the manger, because Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That is the message given to the shepherds. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born, who is Christ the Lord. No wonder John speaks about receiving one blessing after another. God in his grace meets us. The good news of Christmas is that God has noticed us and he has come to us in Jesus. He has spoken to us in his Son. He has reached out and touched us in Christ. Amen.